to behave ourselves on the story? Well, y'all know what we thinking right now.
I'm ready for the night. I got a little extra energy. I don't know what might come out of my mouth tonight.
As you can be, tell them to go sit their bad asses down so we're grown folks in here talking.
TGIF.
Hey everybody, welcome to TGIF. It's your girl Claudia Jordan, and I am back with two of the most fun and fabulous and informed men in the business. Now we're here to spill the tea and break down some of the biggest headlines in the news and in social media. So sit back, relax, get you something to drink, and try not to electrocute yourself like I almost did opening champagne right before the show, and get into this hot tea. Please welcome my fabulous co-host. Hello, Al Reynolds. What's up?
What's going on, Claudia? I decided we should have a segment called Catch Claudia. Because you're all over the place. You're like, where are you, Jamaica?
I'm in Jamaica. We are celebrating Vivica Fox's birthday. So all the queens are going to be in one place for the first time ever. We've been doing the show for over 2 years now. So we get to all be together on Monday. So we're going to turn up for her birthday and have a good time. So, yeah.
Very nice. Catch Claudia, everybody.
Where's she going to be? I like that. Please welcome a multimedia personality, Funky Dineva. What's up, Q?
What's going on, everybody?
We kind of coordinated again.
We got pink
and black going on tonight.
We did. Al didn't quite get the memo, or he read it late.
His face is pink sometimes when he gets embarrassed from our ratchetness.
What? Now that I think about it, I'm looking across the screen. Al's face is the same color as my shirt. So
cut it out, Q.
It is. Look. Y'all look. Look, it's the same color as my shirt.
Oh, my goodness. So, look, we have a lot of stuff to get into tonight. Are y'all drinking tonight?
No, you know, I'm still on a cleanse trying to unlock my better self. So, I am drinking public sweet tea tonight.
He's on that cycle.
No one's buying that. Like, we know as soon as the show's over, you go down to the bar and drink with your friends. Like, you're just not doing it right now. Right?
I'm trying to unlock my self.
Al, you buying it?
Heck no. He's probably on an antibiotic.
14, 10 more days ago. All right. So y'all not drinking tonight. Okay. Hello. Okay. Well, Vivica left bottles of Prosecco in the room, and I almost electrocuted myself opening it, just sprayed all over my stuff. So hopefully I'm going to be all right. But all right, yeah, we got a lot to get into. So let's get into this show. The fans have been waiting. Okay, listen, Beyonce's new album, Renaissance, has officially dropped. It's her first album in 6 years. And despite it being leaked early in the week, Beyonce thanked her fans for patiently waiting until the official day of release. Beyonce wrote the following message to her fans on social media. So the album leaked, and you all actually waited until the proper release time so you could all enjoy it together. She wrote to her dedicated fans, "I've never seen anything like it," she added, thanking her followers for their love and protection. Also, shout out to our girl, T.S. Madison, who kept this secret so well, who's featured on Beyonce's single, Cozy. That is major. Y'all, what are your thoughts on this album and on our very own T.S. Madison being featured?
The fans are waiting for, you know, I talked to Maddie this morning or whatever, and I was like, you know, congratulations. And I actually called her and I said, you might as well go ahead and retire now, because it gets no higher in your career than doing Beyonce. And she gave me the whole rundown. She was like, you know, some people reached out to her a year ago to get clearance to use her stuff. And she had to sign an NDA, and she was like, and they paid her. And, you know, she didn't know who it was or whatever. And then she was like, you know, recently they started like hounding her. They needed her to sign some more paperwork. And when she gave the paperwork to her attorney, it said Parkland Entertainment. And her attorney called her and was like, oh, girl, this is Beyonce's people. So she literally found out last week that it was Beyonce that was clearing her work or whatever. But I think it's dope. And I'm sure the album's probably triple platinum already.
Oh, that is imagine that. Like, you think, oh, it's just like for whatever, and it's like the pinnacle,
right,
of the entertainment business is Beyonce. Yeah. Of all people. Al, what you think about this?
You know, I'm still listening to it, but so far so good. I love the dance house influence. I love the Afro beats. But let me tell you what touched my heart about this was that she dedicated this to her uncle Johnny. Now, they call him Uncle Johnny. He's not really her uncle. I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's Miss Tina's nephew. But because of his age, he's older than Miss Tina. So she, Beyonce and everyone always called him Uncle. So Uncle Johnny died of AIDS a few years ago. And obviously, he was a gay man, but we found out that he designed her prom dress. He introduced her to the ballroom culture, the LGBTQ culture, house music. And I feel like that this tribute speaks to the light heart, fun, happy, love, and empowering undertones all throughout of all the songs. So, hey, great job, Beyonce. Great job, the entire team. Awesome.
And again, I'm sorry, we're being selfish because T.S. Madison is with us. And once again, to me, that's like, I'm super excited about that. You know what I mean? So it's such a well-deserved accolade. All right, speaking of Beyonce, Khalees is not happy with her. Khalees said that Beyonce has no soul after learning that her song Get Along With You was allegedly sampled on Beyonce's new album Renaissance without her permission. Khalees wrote on her Instagram page, "My mind is blown too, because the level of disrespect and utter ignorance of all three parties involved is astounding. I heard about this the same way everyone else did. Nothing is ever as it seems. Some of the people in this business have no soul or integrity, and they have everyone fooled." Now, after receiving backlash on social media, Khalees posted this video. Take a look.
"And the reality is that it's frustrating. I have the right to be frustrated. Why? Because no one had the human decency to call and be like, yo, hey, would like to use your record, which, by the way, the reason I'm annoyed is because I know it was on purpose."
And it went on and on and on. She was not holding back. Al, what are your thoughts on what Khalees is saying and her claims?
So first of all, here's the thing. I like Khalees. Love her, actually. And I think she's super talented. We can't deny her innovation. We can't deny her and the Neptunes and all the great music Pharrell and Chad and her made as label mates and producers and songwriters. They have some of the most memorable music to me. Claudia, we're around the same age, but in the late 90s, early 2000s, Pharrell and Chad and Khalees made some really great stuff. But this is the deal, Khalees. Beyonce didn't steal anything from you, all right? She, as Q just shared with us, all the proper channels that she follows with lawyers sending papers to get clearance and on everything, is the same way she did it with who she was supposed to do. Unfortunately, Khalees signed a horrible deal, and the deal didn't give her ownership to anything. So Beyonce didn't have to reach out to you, sweetheart, because you don't own your music.
All right, good point. Q, what do you think?
You know, my sentiments completely echo Al's. You know, and a lot of the fans got it twisted in social media. They're like, you know, she knows she don't own her music, but, you know, it's the courtesy and the respect. I mean, courtesy is just that, a courtesy. You're not owed a courtesy. You're not owed a phone call, and calling you when you have no authority to say yay or nay anyway is a waste of time. You know what I'm saying? Now, granted, I get what Khalees is saying. You know, it would have been nice if somebody would have given me the heads up, but it really feels like misdirected anger, especially considering, from my understanding, she's not even using Khalees' vocals. She's using the beat from the song. And let's be for real here. Chad and Pharrell are the ones who created the beat. So Khalees, what are you really mad about here? I can understand that she was using your vocals. She's using the beat.
Right. And to be honest, Khalees owes Beyonce an apology.
I'm going to go with the emotional side of this thing. Try to put myself in her shoes. I try to do that sometimes. She probably feels slighted because she didn't get the heads up for whatever the bad business was. I think that's, there's definitely some fire there, because there's definitely some smoke, right? I think that's fair to say. But Khalees, I think Khalees is in a bad place right now. You know, let's not forget she just lost her husband not too long ago. And maybe she's just feeling like she's just lashing out. Maybe she's just feeling away. You know, I'm not making an excuse for her, because the business isn't tight. The business is not tight, and it's not really their fault. But I could see she's probably feeling some kind. I'm thinking, trying to take, you know, put myself in her shoes. Maybe she's just feeling away, slighted.
It feels like it's some backstory there. You know, it feels like her and the Neptunes maybe not seeing eye to eye. now that she's older, more seasoned, more mature, she's reflecting on the fact that she has been swindled and taken advantage of via bad contracts. You know what I'm saying? And so because she's already probably mad with Chad and Pharrell, it's not hard to be upset about this. But if anybody should have given her a heads up, if she was old one, it would be Chad them. Like, hey girl, remember that song we did on your first album? I just got a call from Beyonce. She wants to use it. But Beyonce didn't owe her no phone call.
And then she did mention and allude to that this isn't the first time, there's some other incidents. And so I imagine Khalees hasn't really been that vocal about these kinds of things, not to my knowledge. Mm-hmm. So for her to say something, either some real emotional stuff's going on, or the issue with Chad and Pharrell. And I think that we won't be hearing the end of this. I think she'll probably keep on talking. Mm-hmm. We'll see. All right, Joe, we'll keep y'all posted if any more developments happen with that. All right, now appearing on Van Lathan and Rachel Lindsay's podcast, Higher Learning's Amber Rose said she's a compassionate hoe while discussing her relationships and her sex life. Amber addressed the misconception that she only preaches for girls to be adventurous. Amber shared, I want guys to get their hoe on too, but be a compassionate hoe. And she emphasized that she doesn't sleep with married men. What are your thoughts on what Amber said, and would you consider yourselves compassionate hoes? Funky, let's start with you.
Could be more appropriate.
Well, the definition of a compassionate hoe is somebody who don't sleep with people's husbands. I haven't always been a compassionate hoe. I'm just going to keep it very honest and very real here. I have slept with married men in the past. You have too, Claudia.
No, I have not.
That's your number.
In an uncompassionate hoe, don't put that on me now. Don't go believing them bad sources you be having sometimes. I've never slept with uncompassionate hoe. Continue.
So, I have, I have in the past, being young, you're not really respecting the sanctity of marriage, being hood, coming from Miami, I used to carry the mentality that I didn't take no vows with you. He did. Take it up with him. You know what I'm saying? Now that I'm a bit older, a bit more mature, I'll probably still sleep with a married man if he had a bad situation. You know what I'm saying? The question is not about is he married, it's about is he happy. You know what I'm saying? if he ain't happy, you know what I'm saying? Listen, I ain't finna mess my blessings because you don't mess around and made up a thing every this person over here, okay? And miss my opportunity at love. What y'all got going on in y'all household ain't got nothing to do with me, okay?
You went all the way around the block to say,
all the way. Okay.
You a hoe, Mary.
You a hoe.
I am trying to unlock my better self.
You know what?
And so,
Al. Please.
Over the last couple of years, I have not slept with anybody's husband.
And how long?
It's been years. It's been years. It definitely isn't something that I would consciously do at this point in my life. I'm lying.
I call cap on this whole segment.
Listen,
I was going to say, did we talk about the a couple of weeks ago him sleeping with a married man?
Listen, I could have sworn it just came up.
Yes.
Listen.
Al, please. What do you think about this whole compassionate hoe thing? Because Funky clearly is not telling the truth this evening.
Oh, I know, right? I interpreted it, the way I interpreted it, especially when I think about Amber Rose, it's like, if you're going to be a hoe, be the best hoe that you can possibly be. That's how I got it. You know, compassionate. I don't know if I believe her in saying that she never slept with a married man. I don't know if that's true. I wouldn't think that she wouldn't have any dead bodies in that category. But I do think this, Claudia, I felt like for some reason that this was a slight towards the Kardashians. You know why? Because it's like, you know, Amber Rose, Kanye West, Kim Kardashian, Blac Chyna and Amber Rose were good friends. Kylie, Tigger, Blac Chyna. All of that just seems hoish to me.
I like Amber Rose, but I feel like we're kind of getting up there in age and embracing this whole thing, slut walk thing. It's kind of, to me, it's getting old to me. I think, like, I liked when she came on the scene and she was so mysterious and like dope with her style. I like that. And to just, I think it's like the whole thing, twerking, talking about being with Mary Man is just so played out. And I just would like to hear something else from her. She's a mom now. And I just think she's better than this. I feel like sometimes when you feel like people are gonna label you the thing and you're like, I just won't fight it, I'll just embrace it. I fight back when people put false labels on me. Clearly, I don't like that. But I just feel like it's a young girl's thing now. That's a 20-something year old girl's game to kind of still be on that hoe is life. It's really not. Mm-hmm. Hoe is not really life. It's actually low end. I think she's a beautiful woman. And I think she has a lot more that she could be giving besides just like embracing this. And I think she does it as a, you know someone's going to say something about you anyways, like maybe about your sexuality, about your age. You make the joke first. Yeah, I kind of feel like she's doing that. I don't think she needs to do that anymore. I don't. She's a great mom from what I hear and what I see. And I just think, this is kind of like, this is like 2003, in my opinion. I'm kind of off. I'm over it. All right, y'all. Well, you learn something new about your co-host every show. So let's take a quick commercial break. And Funky, what will you be doing? You're trying to unlock your what now?
Unlock
my commercial. Welcome back to TGIF. Soulmates, we see you in the chat. If you have some questions you want to be answered or a comment, please try to leave them in the chat and we'll try to get to them. And no, we're not addressing the trash. Okay. All right, moving on. Will Smith is finally addressing the Oscar slap in a video titled It's Been a Minute. Smith says he has been doing a lot of thinking over the last couple of months and doing some personal work. Now, in that same video, he answers questions from the fans about the incident. The first question Smith addressed was, why didn't you apologize to Chris Rock during your acceptance speech? Will explained that after he smacked Rock over a joke about his wife, Jada Pinkett Smith, he had fogged out by that point. He continued with, it's all fuzzy. I reached out to Chris and the message that came back was that he wasn't ready to talk. Smith continued, it hurts me psychologically and emotionally to know that I didn't live up to people's image and impression of me. What are your thoughts on Will's apology about his actions? And yeah, how do you feel about it, Al?
You know what? I thought, let's find a positive here. So the positive here was that he finally took accountability. He finally decided to use his Instagram, I think, live and take accountability or responsibility and apologizing, okay? So that part, I can say, okay, that was good. However, for me looking at it was, it was really, really hard to experience that interview. Not only the forum, but the format just didn't come across as very genuine to me. I feel at points in the recording that he looked like he was reading a teleprompter. I felt that I saw a great combination of 30 years of acting. I also saw a lot of pain that he obviously is still battling with. And he still probably doesn't understand the full magnitude of his actions.
Okay, so you feel like it was kind of scripted a little bit?
That's how it felt to me.
Okay.
100%.
Okay, Q, do you agree?
I don't know if I agree. To be honest with you, I wish Will wouldn't have even did this at this point. Like, I'm just so over this slap thing. And as we know, you know, every time you bring up something, a little bit of PR advice, you recreate the news cycle. It had kind of died, the whole slap thing, and now this just gave it a rebirth. Now I want to address this whole, why didn't he apologize during his Oscar speech? I was in a fog. Cut your BS. You were still mad, and in that moment, you meant what you did, okay? Like, you wasn't nothing foggy, okay? It was very clear and COVID-free up in that theater. You were still mad, and in that moment, you meant what you did. Apologizing is the proper thing to do, so at least Chris, you know, did get an apology. He also apologized to Chris's mom. I'm just ready for this to be put to bed. And to Chris Rock's point, you know what I'm saying? Hopefully, what I really want to see is this thing come full circle. One day they sit down and talk and they co-headline a movie together. And because of this slap situation, those ticket sales will probably be through the roof.
I hear you. The first thing I heard when I got here and I saw Vivica, she's like, oh my God, you see the apology. She was like, accountability, accountability, accountability. So I was trying to listen to it out there outside. And I kind of was joking about how I wish he would take it a step further and like really just keep it a buck, like throw all the PR, the media training away, right, and just speak from the heart and be like, listen, that's my girl had me riled up. I got tired of y'all coming for me, making me seem like I'm soft and I'm like, I'm a B-I-T-C-H, I'm not. And I snapped. Like, you know, I kind of feel like we got to get, I think when people speak from the heart like that, it may not be polished and your PR people might be like, oh my God, you're too big of a star to do that. But I think it would resonate with folks. And you know what I mean? Like there's nothing like authenticity when it's not perfect, it's flawed, but it's honest and it's real. And like, you kind of get the whole thing and you can kind of understand like, you know what? I can understand why you felt like that, because people have been coming for you for years. But it is a step in the right direction. I mean, it's better than nothing, I suppose.
Yeah. And you know, I just feel like when you do something like that, that was so major and so big, right? That monologue style interviewing just is not it. Monologue style is a safe area for the person who's committed the problem, right? Or who has created the problem. I didn't feel connected at all, Claudia. Like you were saying, I didn't feel like he kept it real. I felt like that this was the PR way to correctly address this. This wasn't the correct way to address this.
And I'm sad about it too. Like people think I come for them or whatever. I actually really, really, really like Will. I remember meeting Will and Jada at a skating party they had in the Valley years ago. And he just comes off as one of the most kind and genuine people you'll ever meet. Like he comes off so nice. Like you really feel it. You know, you meet celebrities, anyone can fake it for 5 seconds. Oh, they were cool. But he just seems so kind to everyone there. So I do want him to get on the right path. I really do. Cause I don't want to see that.
In that video, he's looking a little haggardly or like he drinking. Like, didn't he look a little?
Yeah, he looked a little.
Wouldn't you?
He looked like he's going through something.
Right.
He might. I think he is. And he's at that age, you know, this is that age where you start kind of reflecting on your life and am I happy? And I don't think he is. Okay, well, moving on. Well, Chris Rock has yet to respond to Smith's apology video, but he did address the Oscar slap during two of his comedy shows on Sunday. Rock said, anyone who says words hurt has never been punched in the face. He also said, I'm not a victim, bleep, he continued. Yeah, that bleep hurt, bleep. But do I need to say these bleeps? Okay, yeah. But I shook that blank off and went to work the next day. I didn't go to the hospital for a paper cut. So he's basically like saying, I shook that thing off. I went back to work. What are your thoughts on Chris Rock finally addressing how he feels about the slap? I mean, it's been a while and I thought it was going to be a grander thing. Cause remember all there was talk like it's going to cost us money to see this thing. Q, what do you think about this?
I mean, I think it's honest. I mean, listen, after you get slapped in front of 10 million people, you got one choice, two choices. Crawl up under the bed and pull the covers over yourself and be a hermit, or shake it off and go back to work. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's literally all you can do, unless you're going to pull up on them and fight. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, his response to me seemed very appropriate. And we did see he got back on the comedy circuit and went back to work. It just is what it is. I think Chris Rock's attitude right now is, I don't mess with him. I don't F with that Negro. And I'm just over here doing my thing. Like,
And honestly, like, no one should even rush that process. If someone slapped any of us on stage, it would probably be forever. Like, it's, you know what I mean? Like, how that'd be hard to. Al, what you think about this?
I don't know. I would like, me personally, I would like to see Chris do more of a sit down and talk it out, because I really want to know how he really feels instead of him joking about it all the time. Not saying he's a comedian, but I would just like to see him take this head on, because it was pretty pivotal. I mean, it was pretty pivotal in entertainment history, right? But let me ask you two this. Do you think that Chris Rock owes Jada an apology?
I don't. I think when it comes to award shows, roasts, Oscars, that joke was so mild and it wasn't about alopecia. It really wasn't. My brother has alopecia really bad. Like, my brother, he looks a lot different than how Jada looks. Like, it's very blotchy. He lost his eyebrows, mustache. Like, you can tell there's a condition there. Jada still looks beautiful. She looks great. She's always rocked a shortcut. And I don't think that it was a alopecia joke. I think it was a short hair, a buzz hair. I think that it was such an overreaction. That's my opinion. That's what I think. Mm-hmm. Q, what do you think?
I don't think he owes her one, but I will say, just as a man, if somehow he catches wind that, you know, she would like one for whatever reason, it costs him nothing to give her one.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it costs him nothing to give her one. If that'll help bring closure and healing to everybody, you know, it's like, you know, my bad. I mean, I didn't know what y'all were going through personally. It was a joke. My intentions were pure. I was not trying to dig at her health. But, you know, now that I know that there's some background stuff going on, I apologize. And hopefully we can move on. That costs you nothing.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. Now that it got so big, right. But then it's like, once you get slapped, you're like, F everybody, I'm not apologizing.
Correct.
You know what I mean? Like, and that's right. A huge response. And that's okay. Moving on real quick before this commercial. Early this week, we talked about Sheree Whitfield confirming her relationship with Martell Holtz. Well, recently, Candy Burris shared her concern about Sheree being used for publicity. Candy claims that earlier in this year, a family friend who was on a different reality show went on a date with Martell at her restaurant, Blaze, and claims they allegedly plotted to have people sitting at tables next to them at the restaurant to take photos of them and record footage of the date. What are your thoughts on Candy's claims? And do you think Sheree and Martell's relationship is just a publicity stunt? Al?
Baby. Candy Burris, she got some good receipts. That woman keeps some good receipts. Her ear is always on the ground and her finger is always on the pulse. That's one thing that I really enjoy about Candy. And we don't know Candy to be a liar or to make stories up. So I believe that story about someone coming to her restaurant and wanting to take pictures. Is this a publicity stunt? Maybe so. I mean, we talked about this. We said that for Martell, this is a come up. So why wouldn't he use this? He did it in the past. The other two people that came to the restaurant did it in the past. So we know that he's focused on being relevant or trying to stay relevant in the business. But let me ask you this, Claudia, because you worked with her, and I just want to make sure that I'm reading Candy correctly. Candy, she's always floating somebody down the river, or she's always telling people's business is what it seems like to me. Like when I see her on interviews, is there a girl code? Like, because if there's a girl code, I don't think Candy follows it. When you worked with her, what was your experience with her?
I don't get that impression of her. I always saw her always big up in other women. She'd always have panels. She was always trying to develop shows for people. That's what was my experience with her. And I think she's she tells it like it is. So if you ask, kind of, I can relate to this. If you ask me about something, I'm going to tell you what I know.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
And I think if you clip it right, we're going by clips 99% of the time. Mm-hmm. Hardly are we watching hour long. We don't got time. We got two hot popping nights here on Fox, so we don't have time to watch all these long, you know, in its full context, and are bad sometimes. But I think she answers the questions, and she's also a reality star that knows what she's doing. She knows how to give you a piece. So I don't see her as a violator of girl code, in my opinion.
Okay.
Yeah, I know you've
no,
done
no. My experience with Candy definitely isn't messy, at least not intentionally. And you know, she in this instance is it, okay. Let's back up here. Let's not pretend like this out of left field relationship with Sheree and Martell just does not seem weird as hell from jump. All right. So you got this weird pair up that nobody in a million years would expect, coupled with the fact that I've got this piece of information in the past that he went on a fake date and wanted to stage paparazzi or whatever the case may be, as celebrities are known to do. I think her comments were very valid. And listen, there is something off about this relationship. It all ain't hit the fan yet. We got Sheree saying yes. We got Martell calling somebody saying he's upset that she said yes. We got Candy saying Martell went on a date with somebody and strategically placed people to take pictures and leak to the blog. Something about all of this is very fishy, and if we just sit back long enough, it's going to all come to the surface.
I think that Sheree really likes him. I think she's interested. I think she's attracted to him. And I think Martell, I don't know him, so I don't want to be slandering him, but he would be the one out of the two of them that may be more on the side of the publicity. You know what I mean? Like, he got such bad press when he was with Melody. Like, he was kind of like America's Most Hated with how he behaved. You know what I mean? How he gets down. So, you know, I could see him trying to, like, you know, rebrand or get another storyline going. I don't know. But I don't think Candy's a liar. And also, it is true that people who really are dating, that are thirsty for that attention, do still call the blogs. You can still like someone and still call the blogs. Mm-hmm. So I don't really know, because I'm getting DMs in my inbox. Q, you're getting T. Al, you know Sheree as well. Mm-hmm. This is an interesting story.
Yeah,
I wouldn't mind seeing it play out on television.
This relationship ain't going nowhere. It'll be over in 2 weeks.
You think so in 2 weeks?
It just isn't. It's not. It's not going anywhere.
They got 5 kids.
Young ones. It's not going anywhere. It's just not. It's not going anywhere. I don't know what they pay over there at home, but it ain't maintained Chateau Sheree money.
No, Brian will
get it. You know what I'm saying? It's not going anywhere. Like I said in my video, I hope, if anything, it's fun. And I'm all for folks having fun, but this relationship is not going anywhere.
I will say this, Martell's so polarizing though. This is the second, but how many times, we're going to probably be talking about this. I think people love to hate him, and he's giving us reasons why. All right, y'all, great segment, great comments. We will take a quick commercial break and we'll be back with more show after this. Welcome back to TGIF. All right, y'all, with all this inflation and gas prices are up and they trying to come down a little bit, but we still need to get our money together and our credit. So listen, the 3-week rule might be the best financial advice ever. Now, what is the 3-week rule? Well, that means you should wait 3 weeks to buy that new car, wait 3 weeks to refi your home mortgage, and wait 3 weeks to finance any major purchase. Now, why should you wait 3 weeks? Well, that's how fast the average ScoreMaster user takes to boost his or her credit score, an average of 61 points. Now, 61 points added to your credit score is major, and that will save you lots of money in everything we finance. ScoreMaster technology was developed by credit data scientists to boost your score faster and higher than you ever thought was possible. ScoreMaster is really easy. Now, it takes about a minute to get started, and you don't have to wait months for your best results. Now, how many points can you add to your credit score? Well, check out ScoreMaster and see. Be sure to visit ScoreMaster.com/T for a special 7-day trial I got for you. That's ScoreMaster.com/T. Once again, ScoreMaster.com/T. I told y'all before, I am a customer. I do get emails and they tell me they keep me abreast of everything. If accounts run low, if there's a drop in my credit, all kinds of things, so I can address it quickly, and I've been able to maintain. So I highly recommend it. All right, y'all, taking a quick break. We'll be back with more with Al and Funky after the break. So stick around. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to TGIF Soulmates. We see you in the chat and we appreciate your energy. So if you're liking the show, please throw some flames up in the chat and give us some comments to read and I will get to them. All right, y'all, this old ratchet pastor story, we gotta get back into it. Apparently, Bishop Lamore Whitehead, the pastor who was robbed during his sermon, was accused of stealing from a congregant last year. Pauline Anderson filed a lawsuit accusing the bishop of convincing her to liquidate her life savings and pay him a $90,000 investment in November of 2020. Now, he also allegedly promised to buy and renovate a home for her. According to the New York Post, Whitehead reportedly agreed to pay her $100 a month in January of 2021. But he only made one payment. According to court documents, Anderson asked Whitehead about the status of her home, and he told her that he was tied up with his election campaign for Brooklyn Borough President. Whitehead allegedly used the money as a down payment to purchase a $4.4 million home in New Jersey. The contract fell through, and instead he purchased the $4.5 million complex, apartment complex in Connecticut. So what do you thought of these allegations? He's got all this bread to buy these homes and she's out $90,000. Al, what do you think?
You know, we didn't need a lawsuit or anyone to tell us this. Come on, let's just do a deep dive on this pastor, okay? He served jail time for identity fraud. He served jail time for grand larceny. He was accused of stealing $250,000 from a symphony conductor. He defaulted Claudia on that $4.5 million loan that you just mentioned. And that default was taped on the front door of his house when reporters went by to talk to him. And look how he behaved with on Larry Reed's show. And look at all the videos and the pictures that are coming out about him. He's flashy and flamboyant and jewelry, but at the same time, he's manipulative, he's not truthful, and he has a long rap sheet of lying and stealing. This is why sometimes when you and Funky get on me about the Black Church, I have to take it, because people like this is making the Black Church not look the best it is.
I agree, and it's manipulating the people that have faith, which is
listen, this man is a total fraud. One thing that I will give him is that he is a reformed hustler, and he found a legal hustle. I mean, what better way to legally hustle than to start a church? And it's just baffling to me, because the church is like a doggone abandoned warehouse where they used to make furniture and 1967, and yet you got on millions of dollars worth of jewelry, you got a G-Wagon, a Bentley, and all these other cars, but yet you won't even fix up your doggone church. And he did a press conference either today or yesterday. I saw it on social media today, and the press conference was a complete mess. People were asking, the reporters were flat out asking him, you know, being a pastor of this church, how can you afford to live like this? And he would not give a straightforward answer. He said that the Bible talks about the four streams, four rivers or four streams. I'm not that well versed in the Bible. And he says, and as a result of that, he has four streams of income. He never went, he was like, but see, y'all are trying to be in my business. He's like, y'all don't need to be in my business. Just understand I have four streams of income, but never divulge what those four streams are. And we all know, he lying. You know what I'm saying? You are living off the money that. And he also said he does not take a salary from his church. Yeah, because you take the whole collection plate. That's why you're not taking no salary, because you're taking the whole doggone plate. If you look at that church, where's some people tithes and offering money going? The church is like a rundown bodega that get boarded up at night every time they leave after service. The church got curtains being hung up by double-sided tape and poster board. I've seen kindergarten daycare centers decorated better than that doggone church. So where is the people tithes and offering money going if it's not going to K Jewelers and to the Gucci store? Where's some people money going?
Not K Jewelers.
Hey, every gift begins with K.
Not with those body down. You know, it's really sad to piggyback off of what both of you said. To manipulate people that actually do have faith. And the fact that, listen, those people see how he's coming in flashy. They see what he's driving. They know all about it. And they see the condition of that raggedy church. Yes, it is raggedy. I'm saying it. It's raggedy. Now, maybe the word in there is not raggedy, but the aesthetics. And how can you even feel comfortable going up in the place of worship, knowing, you know, how much money could be spent in there and you're wearing it all? And then, I mean, this lady is proving the point that one of his streams is scamming and defrauding people out of money. $90,000 from this woman. Who knows how many others are out there like this? And I think it's sad to use the church and people's faith to prey on them. Because, you know, Black people are so fearful of you know, being disobedient to the word and to church leaders. And if they believe in you, they're going to like rock with you even when you're wrong, because they just don't want to take the chance that they're going up against a man of God. You know what I mean? Like, even if you're like, something ain't right, you still like, well, that's my pastor. We see this all the time where people stand by the pastors through all kinds of accusations. And we think, how can they just let it go down? Because they have faith, and there's nothing wrong with them having faith. But at some point, we got to look at these people and be like, 1 + 1 = 2. And this over here is not adding up what this guy's doing. You know, the fact that you isn't, and now you know the Bible clearly, because you working with us two heathens, we don't really know. But doesn't it say something about being humble, like humility when you're, shouldn't there be some kind of humility in that position?
Yeah, let's start with honesty. Right. Let's start with honesty. Like, I don't know.
All right.
It happens.
Well, all I know is my grandpa, rest his soul, he was a very, he was creative financially. And when he got to head of a church, y'all let anybody.
I'm not, to be honest with you, I'm not even really mad I'm not mad with the pastor. I really am not. You have got to be a damn fool to step in that dilapidated bodega, okay, sit down there, see that man sit up there with all these jewelry, pull up in his G-Wagon, and reach down in your purse. First of all, you can look at that, the aesthetic of that church, and tell nobody of status, clout, or ranking in society goes there. So it's all poor people that go to that doggone church. I mean, you can look at the church and tell. Nobody with good sense and a good paying job go to that doggone church. And to reach down in your pocket and give this man your money, you is a damn fool. And I thought the Bible said God take care of babies and fools. Well, that's just something black people say, Al. Because he damn sure ain't taking care of these fools.
You know, I'm impressed that he got enough money from that church to buy these things. He must really be guilting them. Hey, y'all, believe in the word, not in the man. Man is flawed. He gonna lie to you. He gonna be tempted by material things and women and attention and clout like this guy. And he's gonna manipulate you using the Bible and what you care about so much, your religion, your God, to get it. All right, y'all, I think we gotta take a break. Quick commercial break, and we'll be back with more after this. Welcome back to TGIF. Once again, hypocritical Republicans strike again and open their big old mouths, and their actions just don't support their words. All right, check out this story. Republican lawmaker Representative Glenn Thompson, he attended his gay son's wedding just 3 days after joining the majority of his GOP colleagues in voting against a House bill that would codify federal protections for same-sex marriage. Now, his son confirmed to the NBC News that he married the love of his life on Friday and that his father was there. Thompson's press secretary, Madison Stone, also confirmed his attendance by sending out an email that stated Congressman and Mrs. Thompson were thrilled to attend and celebrate their son's marriage on Friday night as he began this new chapter in his life. And she's added that the Thompsons are very happy to welcome their new son-in-law into the family. What are your thoughts on this BS family and their nonsense? Because why can't we have what you want your son to be okay with? The hypocrisy here is just next level. Al?
You know what? This actually, if you really look at it, it's super interesting because, like you said, actions don't match his words. So when he was at that wedding, he spoke of how great he was and proud he was to be accepting his son's husband into the family. However, you just 3 weeks, 2 or 3 days earlier voted against marriage equality. Like, so who is he lying to? Is he lying with his constituents or is he lying to his son?
Good point.
You know what? This further undergirds what I've always said about many of those Republicans is that they don't believe half the crap that's coming out of their mouth. They pander to their base. And I also think that the Republicans, or at least a large majority of them, have made a pact that just simply says, we're not going to pass anything in the Democratic House. And I literally think that's just what they're doing. Like, whether it makes sense or not, just in an effort to damage and tarnish this current administration, they've just made a pact that they're not going to pass anything. And I think that this is a reflection of that.
I mean, 1,000%. They have gay people in their family. They have gay sons. They're gay themselves. They're down low. They have all kinds of connections to the community. They have abortions. They have mistresses. They put the RU486 abortion drug in their girlfriends and mistresses' smoothies. Their actions do not match what they're talking about. So yeah, they have one united front. That's what the Republican Party does, even if it's at the detriment of their own constituents. Mm-hmm. So they rather win than find solutions. And at the end of the day, they're gonna say Joe Biden was an ineffective president after they done voted it all down. And it's maddening. I wish the states that would vote against, you know, these packages that would benefit their states wouldn't get a piece of it if their person didn't vote for it. You know what I mean? Like, I hate that they still get the benefit from the things that the rest of the congressmen vote for and save. But I wonder how his son feels about his dad. You know,
it's the cognitive dissonance. Cognitive dissonance. He don't feel no way. He gets it. He understands. He's cut from the same cloth. He was raised in that household. You know what I'm saying? And he's probably raised in a situation where that's just my dad's work and he's doing what he has to do based on who his allies are. He don't feel the way.
Another hypocrite that I just will never understand. A Black Trump supporter who assaulted police officers on the Capitol on January 6th was sentenced to more than 5 years in prison, which tied him with the longest sentence so far. Good job, brother. Mark Pounder, who was just one of four Washington residents arrested for their actions at the Capitol, will serve his time in a federal prison. Like I said, his sentence is tied for the longest imposed to date in the January 6th insurrection prosecutions with that of Robert Scott Palmer, who attacked law enforcement officers with a fire extinguisher. What are your thoughts on this brother's sentence? Al, what do you think about this?
Example? I mean, he looks like a clown. Five years. You're going to jail for a president, for a country, for a system that is throwing the book at you. Or should I say your Black A crooked letter. 5 years, he's getting the harshest penalty thus far. That 5 years for a, you know, siding with a racist, a white ring theorist. Man, I'm embarrassed for him.
Man, he went to the Candace Owens School of Blackness. I see. Q, what you think about this, brother?
It's the poetic justice for me, right? Because all things constant, you know, this is when Black lives are supposed to matter and we're supposed to be protesting unfair sentencing. But like, I don't care. I don't care. Yes, and it's steeped in race. You got more time because you Black and they treating you unfairly because you Black. But you and Al Sharpton said it best. Just because you my color don't mean you my kind. I don't care. Disproportionately sentence his ass all y'all want. Give his ass another 10 years. Like, that's just what you get. That's what you get for trying to align with these folks for whatever reason. And look at you. I wonder, will he be sitting in his cell and reflect on, wow, I thought they really liked me.
Right.
Found out they don't.
I'm going to need people like him, like the Clarence Thomases, the Stacey Dashes, the Candace Owens, the Larry Elders, the lists go on and on and on, that think white acceptance is so much better than Black acceptance. That want that so badly, that want to be like, no, I'm not like them. I'm not a raging liberal. I'm one of y'all. I'm cool. I'm different. I think differently. I'm not on that plantation mentally. Like, you think you're so special and you're, oh, they want to be accepted by the Proud Boys. Do you know what the Proud Boys are?
Mm-hmm.
And you're over there risking your freedom. You know your Black ass is going to get the longest sentence. All dummy. Right. Dummy. Yeah. You out there and your dumb ass had your Black ass face all up on camera. It's so easy to ID you out that white ass crowd. Like, they're like, there we go. Look at him. Dummy. You know how easy? This had to be the easiest case to prosecute in all of history. You are a speck of brownness amongst all this whiteness and hate for people like you. And you went up there and fought for a man and a movement, and you thought someone's going to save you because you were different than your other brothers and sisters, and you were favored. There's going to be favor on you. Now you got 5 years in the big house. I wonder who you're going to rock with in prison. You're going to rock with the Aryan Nation? You think they're going to like embrace you, sir? You're gonna be down with the Mexicans in jail? They're gonna look at you crazy too. They don't want you either. Good luck. Oh wait, he's in federal prison, so it's gonna be not that hard. But it's still 5 years of your life where you can't eat unseasoned food and hang with your little posse.
Yeah, and you got a felony on your record.
Dummy. All right, real quick, we gotta get to the story. It's disgusting. We only have a couple minutes, but I think we need to talk about it. A mother recently went off on an employee at her daughter's daycare after she discovered that her child was left sitting in her own feces. Check out this clip.
We don't have a clip.
Oh, we don't have a clip. That's right. Okay, y'all seen the clip?
We've seen the clip. And for those of y'all out there, y'all can find it on Instagram. It's very viral.
The mother also said this is the 8th incident that she has had at this daycare. How would y'all react to the situation, fellas?
The same way that mama did. She went in there and cussed out every ass what was in there. And she should have. When she flipped under... when I watched the video, I was thinking that the little girl was sitting in a pamper full of boo-boo. When she lifted up the girl's dress, the boo-boo was smeared all over the back of the dress. And it's obvious that it had been on the girl's dress all day or for a prolonged period of time. And that goes to show that those daycare center workers were not paying any attention. They were being very negligent. And furthermore, they had to smell it. That's what further indicates that y'all were just being negligent. They had to smell it.
So I'm going to have to disagree with Funky on this
one.
Now, I'm going to tell you. Now, let's start from the top. Now, no child deserves to have boo-boo on them, okay? But I did a deep dive into her TikTok and into her social media. She, too, is a Black Trump supporter. But not only is she a Black Trump supporter, she is anti-Black. She is anti-Black woman. So there is a side of me that says, oh, well, that's what you get. Because if you really look at her social media, she's absolutely disgusting. And I see why she's got 8 complaints there, because she's that type of woman. And I would imagine in my head, because her mother is so difficult, that the child is the one that's getting all the backlash from it.
Okay, I got to disagree with you. I cannot like the mother, but that's a baby. And you like doo-doo go all your
way. Well, I said no child deserves that now. No child deserves that. In fact, that's borderline abuse, right?
No, it is abuse. And that little girl can have all kinds of infections and rashes, but to sit in feces like that all day long. And again, we say this all the time. 2 things can be true. The mother is probably trash, but the daughter should not have been left in a dirty diaper all day like that. Like, that is disgusting. And also, mother, why would you keep your kid at a school after you had 7 other complaints? That's what I want to know. All right, we got to go. I want to thank my co-host Al Reynolds and Funky Dineva for a fantastic job. Thanks for watching us on YouTube. Stay tuned. The house is up next, and we'll see you next week. Bye. Have a good weekend, y'all.
At Byers Volkswagen, we've been family-owned since 1897. Built on trust, driven by innovation, and now buying your next Volkswagen is easier than ever. Shop online, customize your deal, and finalize everything from home. Just stop by to pick up the keys.
Right now, drive home a new 2025 Volkswagen Atlas for 3.9% APR for up to 60 months.
The next generation shops online, and we're driving with them at ColumbusVW.com. Or visit us by the airport. Byers Auto, driving the next generation of buyers.
See dealer for details. Offer ends 9/2/25.